Welcome to Arbitration Acumen, a podcast from Bracewell's International Arbitration Group that connects in-house counsel and arbitration practitioners with industry experts, institutional insiders, and top arbitrators from around the globe to share their views on key issues in arbitration today. You can reach out to any of today's speakers by emailing arbitrationacumen@bracewell.com. And we hope you enjoy this episode of Arbitration Acumen.
Welcome back to the next episode of Arbitration Acumen, in which we'll discuss the American Arbitration Association's 100th anniversary with the AAA ICDR's president and CEO, Bridget McCormick. I'm JP Duffy. I'm an international arbitration partner at Bracewell based in New York that acts as both counsel and arbitrator in arbitration seated around the world under a variety of governing laws and arbitral rules, including those of the AAA and the ICDR. I'm qualified in New York, England, and Wales in the DIFC courts in Dubai, where I previously practiced, and I have the good fortune to be listed on the AAA's and ICDR's neutral roster. With us today is Bridget McCormick. And trying to distill down Bridget's career accomplishments and impact into a pithy introduction is no easy task. Since 2023, Bridget has served as president and CEO of the AAA ICDR, where she's helping set the vision for the organization next 100 years, reimagining how people move through conflict in the age of AI, and positioning the AAA ICDR as a thought leader at the intersection of dispute resolution, innovation, and technology. Before joining the AAA ICDR, Bridget spent 9 years as a justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, including 3 years as chief justice, where she launched the nation's first statewide online dispute resolution platform. Earlier in her career, Bridget was a law professor at the University of Michigan Law School, and prior to that, at Yale. Bridget began her legal career in New York as a trial counsel at the Legal Aid Society, and then in the Office of the Appellate Defender. In addition to her role at the AAA ICDR, Bridget's a widely respected writer and speaker on AI and the future of law. She also holds leadership roles with the Council of the American Law Institute, serves as chair of the ABA section of the Legal Education and Admission to the Bar section, and is a member of the Wall Street Journal CEO Council. We have a really incredible guest today, as you can tell, who's going to share great information about recent developments at the AAA ICDR, her vision for its future, and where it will be in the next 100 years. So welcome, Bridget, and thank you for joining.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And to set the stage for the discussion, let me give a very quick intro to the AAA ICDR for anyone that's not familiar. The AAA ICDR is a nonprofit alternative dispute resolution services provider headquartered in New York that administers arbitrations, mediations, and other forms of dispute resolution, such as ombudsperson and dispute avoidance training. The AAA ICDR was founded in 1926, as I mentioned, making this its 100-year anniversary, to provide an alternative to civil court proceedings. And at 100 years and going strong, it's one of the oldest arbitral institutions in the world. It's also one of the largest and most active, having administered over 12,000 business-to-business cases in 2025 alone, with a total value of over $29.1 billion. Notably, the AAA ICDR has several divisions that offer users substantial subject matter expertise. For instance, the commercial division specializes in business-to-business disputes of all sizes, but has particular expertise with large, complex cases across a variety of industries, including accounting, communications, energy, entertainment, financial services, franchise, hospitality, insurance, reinsurance, life sciences, and sports and technology. There are also separate divisions that focus exclusively on construction, consumer, employment, government, healthcare, and labor disputes. And moreover, as many of the listeners will be aware, the AAA has a well-known international division, the International Center for Dispute Resolution, or ICDR, that focuses on disputes that have an international component. I won't belabor the point, but if you want more background on the AAA ICDR, you can listen to my episode on mass arbitration with Adam Schenick, which is a really interesting one, or a prior one that I did in 2024 with Jeff Zano, who's a vice president of the commercial division. But with that background, let's hear directly from Bridget, because she really is a wealth of knowledge. So welcome again, Bridget, and thanks.
Really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. Now, you stepped down off the bench in 2022. What prompted that decision, and how did you choose to move over to your current role?
Yeah. So I was finishing my last year as the Chief Justice in Michigan. The longstanding tradition on the Michigan Supreme Court is chiefs do 2 two-year terms, and I was in my fourth and final year and could have continued, obviously, as in, you know, as a justice, not the Chief Justice. In fact, I had been reelected in 2020 for an 8-year term when I got a reach out about this position at the AAA. And so had a few conversations with the search committee. Did a lot of homework, and it seemed to me to be a really amazing opportunity and would be an honor to be able to do it. So I stepped down because I had the opportunity to do what I'm now doing.
Now, did you know the AAA well before you got that outreach, or was it a newer organization to you?
No, I mean, I knew the AAA because everybody kind of knows the AAA if you're a lawyer for a long time. But I had never done an arbitration as a practitioner. I had obviously on the bench decided some questions related to arbitration, but I really didn't know nearly enough about AAA when I was first contacted about this job.
Well, how have you found the transition to the new role?
It's been amazing. The AAA has, as you know, because you've interviewed a bunch of our star performers. Adam and Jeff are both fantastic, but there, believe it or not, are like dozens of others like that, hundreds of others like that. So it's a really strong team. It's also, I inherited a very disciplined, well-run organization. There was, you know, there was no like cleanup on aisle 5 to do. There was like really a well-run operations team and function. And so that's helpful, right? I mean, a lot of people start in a new role and there's all kinds of things they have to sort of figure out before they can think about what comes next. And I didn't have that. So the team is amazing. The organization has this like storied history, but is, you know, well run by today's standards. It has not, you know, it was not stuck in the past. And that really helps. That made the transition, you know, pretty exciting, honestly, kind of fun.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, it is noticeable to practitioners how well run the AAA ICDR is, because you don't necessarily see that in every organization. So that's got to be a nice surprise. What have you found to be the biggest challenge since moving into the new role?
I don't think that I think all of the challenges that keep me up at night have nothing to do with the organization or my team, and more to do with the macro trends that are impacting the legal profession generally, and therefore the, you know, dispute resolution sort of vertical within the legal profession, and how those intersect with one another. So the influx of capital into the business of law, the rapidly changing capabilities that technology is making possible, and the intersection of those and many that flow from them. Those are the challenges I think we're all facing today, and we're no different from anybody else.
Interesting. Well, I did know yesterday, it's when you mentioned the influx of capital, I think it was one of the alternative service provider firms that it opened in Arizona or through the state of Arizona closed down. So that was an interesting development there.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I even saw that. I got to go find that right away as soon as we're done. Yeah.
It was over, I think it was over ethical concerns within the organization itself. Like not, you know, at least that's what was reported. I'm certainly have no inside track on that, but yeah, it is an interesting challenge. Well, now you mentioned technology too. So let's transition to that and talk about some of the innovations that have been going on at the AAA ICDR under your watch. You know, one of the things that's been a hallmark of your career is that you've embraced innovation as a means of providing access to justice. So let's talk about some of those developments. But let's start with ODR.com. Now, at the end of May 2024, which is relatively early in your tenure, the AAA ICDR acquired ODR.com. For people that are less familiar, maybe you could just give a little information on what ODR.com is.
Yeah, you bet. And just to set the stage a little bit, I will answer your question directly. for me, technology has always been a way to scale access both to justice, but also to dispute resolution, right? There are things you can do with technology that are just impossible to do in our traditional one-to-one service models within the practice of law, the business of law, and even in dispute resolution. And so thinking about what that might look like in a, you know, in the complicated, nuanced, you know, world we now live in, it seemed clear to me that having more options for parties that are resolving disputes, and not every dispute is created equal, even often for some of the parties that might use your services. They have some disputes that might need one solution and others that might need a different solution. That adding an online dispute resolution service offering would be a nice addition to the AAA's, the excellent services that we already offered. So ODR.com is a online dispute resolution startup that is founded and still led by Colin Rule, who is probably the world's leading thought leader in online dispute resolution solutions. I mean, he's definitely sort of a real futurist in thinking about what is possible with online dispute resolution. He built the systems of eBay and PayPal back in the day, some of the early online dispute resolution platforms. And with his team at ODR.com, that is now a subsidiary here at the AAA, they are building online dispute resolution systems for courts. That's the vertical that they're focused on. So they have a number of courts in Michigan that are using them for traffic offenses. They are building similar platforms for other local courts and statewide courts for family an online trial platform, and they're looking at some small claims and other options with some of their other users. This is an area where, I mean, the AAA always, in my view, has been a good partner to governments and courts. And as a nonprofit, I think it's part of our mission to make sure we can provide alternative dispute resolution services to support our public dispute resolution mainstays. But this is a place where we can really specifically offer tailored products in new lanes and continue to really serve our mission.
Yeah, well, they have a really impressive roster of clients, it looks like, just from seeing their website. It looks like a lot of big state court systems, as you say, Michigan state courts and a few others. So I'm sure that will do well. How does Mediate.com fit into that?
Mediate.com historically was a separate business, and Colin was the CEO of both, Colin Rule. They've now combined forces, and Mediate.com is a fantastic community for mediators and people seeking mediation services. They do great training, lots of connecting, people who need mediation to mediators. And for, the AAA actually has fantastic mediators. Our mediation panel is like off the charts, even though people sometimes think of us as arbitration first. And I'm not saying we're not, that hasn't been our history. But growing our mediation community and footprint is a real strategic goal of ours. And so adding this little community to ours in one transaction was a nice boost.
Okay. And so how then would you see all that fitting in, like ODR.com playing into the larger AAA ICDR structure in the future?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, right now, as I said, the ODR team is really focused on the vertical of courts and services for courts, online dispute resolution services for courts. But that's just their first vertical. There are lots of other places where ODR is probably the best solution for parties with a dispute. You can imagine what some of those are. And the way we see it is in an increasingly complex world where more and more commerce crosses borders, crosses industries, and disputes are showing up across that commerce and across those industries, some of which can be decided fairly simply because of, in a documents only dispute, maybe with a certain dollar value, and others of which are going to need significantly more process, or for which the parties will want significantly more process. And so being able to offer parties a range of solutions to the kinds of disputes they have is what we're trying to build for the future. And ODR will be a great, tool in that toolkit.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because that really dovetails nicely too with the notion that, things like arbitration, ADR in general, really is flexibility is one of the hallmarks. So having that option is a really nice one. Let's shift gears a little bit then and talk about a topic that I know you're really passionate about, which is AI and artificial intelligence. AI has obviously been a transformative advancement that seems to really come into its own over the last couple of years. And many people believe it will not only transform the legal industry generally, but particularly dispute resolution. Now, before we drill down on AI native arbitrator and we talk about some of those developments, What are some of the ways in which the AAA ICDR has embraced AI under your leadership?
Yeah, so we, you know, I started in February 2023. I accepted the job in September of 2022. What happened in between those two dates was, you know, Sam Altman changed our worlds in, you know, November of 2023 by releasing ChatGPT into the wild. And I spent a lot of my short break between jobs learning everything I could about the technology, going pretty deep. And I definitely was convinced that not only was this technology going to disrupt the business of law and the practice of law, but it was absolutely going to change the dispute resolution landscape. You know, in addition to being kind of a magic language calculator that could increasingly reason across complex records, as you know, the technology has an ability to make people feel heard. And if there's a wake-up call for anybody in a dispute resolution service, it's a way to make sure parties feel heard. There's this like robust literature that you're probably familiar with, and it called, you know, around procedural justice or procedural fairness, that goes something like this. You know, if parties feel like they were heard and understood in a dispute resolution process, most of the research is done in courts, they will accept what is a bad outcome for them and still grow trust in the process. It's really important in courts because today's parties or tomorrow's jurors or tomorrow's witnesses, right? And the whole thing falls apart if people stop believing in what the system stands for and how it operates. So when you have a technology that can make people feel heard, you know, you probably better focus on it if you're running a dispute resolution service. So we went all in 2023. We equipped everybody across the organization with enterprise licenses to the frontier models. We got a group of panelists and had them start experimenting. And we started building point solutions that came out of all that innovating and ideating. And we built, I don't know, 10 or 15 different point solutions across our process, some internal, some external for users. And we also partnered when we could get functionality to people faster. So we partnered with a legal tech startup called ClearBrief pretty early to give our arbitrators access to the ClearBrief platform, which a number of users had access to. And we had lots of other examples like that. And after all that, we were able to start building it into our enterprise content management systems. And from there, we could start planning for some of the bigger bets, including our release in the fall of the first AI arbitrator.
Well, you know, just to pick up a couple of points there, it's interesting. I was speaking to, actually, ironically enough, for the ICDR at an event in Miami around this time 2 or 3 years ago. And the keynote at lunch was Ken Feinberg.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about really like how many people just want to be heard. Right. And precisely your point, those studies show like doesn't really matter what the outcome is, you know, as long as they feel like they got their say, they're pretty happy to live with anything. So I think you're right. You know, anything that really helps further that is really important.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when to hear you talk about ClearBrief. I finally did my ClearBrief training recently.
Nice.
And it is a really, really, really great tool.
It is.
So yeah, Jeff and I were just speaking on a panel for the New York State Bar with one of the founders. And it's, you know,
Jackie?
It really is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Really transformative.
Yeah, she's great.
Really transformative. So really great to hear that that's been embraced too. Well, then let's talk about the AI arbitrator, because, you know, it's really funny. That's one of those things that if someone had told me 10 years ago, you know, there's going to be an AI arbitrator, I think we all would have laughed, right? I would have cracked like 10 Skynet jokes and, you know, Terminator jokes and everything else, but it's here now. So tell everybody more about AI arbitrator and, you know, what role you see it playing going forward.
Yeah. So the AI arbitrator is a bit of shorthand for what we actually built, because in fact, there are two separate large builds involved in the AI arbitrator. I'm going to spend almost zero time on the first, which is the AI arbitrator itself operates on an AI native case management system. You know, we have a homegrown case management system because we're big enough that we build our own software. It's called Prism, but we built a brand new case management system that the AI arbitrator operates on. That AI native case management system, within 2 years, will replace our case management operations across our cases. So everybody will have the benefits of that AI native case management system. The AI arbitrator does its business on that case management system. And the AI arbitrator is, in fact, a series of agents. It is not really one thing, even though the parties are interacting with what seems like one thing. It's a number of different agents that operate across the arbitration process on the back end. So when the parties are submitting their pleadings and any evidence and any legal support they want considered, there are a series of agents that parse that information and they organize it in the form of the claims each party is bringing, the elements of each claim, the evidence each party believes supports their side of that claim, the legal support they think they have. And then those agents submit that back to the parties and they say, this is my understanding of what your, you know, what you think your case is and all of the elements and all the evidence above. Did I get it right? And the parties then have an opportunity to say, yes, you did, or almost, but, you know, there's this one thing that you missed, and then it goes to work again. The agents go to work again and send it back to the parties. We built it I'll quickly say, from there, the agents pass it on to a set of reasoning agents that are trained to reason across the dispute and produce a draft award based on the reasoning they have done about each of the claims. The AI arbitrator that we are offering right now is only available for documents-only construction disputes. Lots of reasons why we started there, and we can talk about those if you're interested. But it's a very narrow use case where we have an awful lot of experience as well as relationships in the industry. It was about a 10-month build, which our engineers did with an outside firm, but also in connection with construction lawyers and arbitrators who were part of our ongoing sprints as we taught each of the agents on the back end what to do and how to do it.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about this sort of the first interface being like, you know, here's what I understand your case to be. Did I get that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's always, that is truly like what a good arbitrator does right at the outset. So that's right. That's right. Always a great thing to hear. And I would like to hear more about why you chose construction in the first instance. I think that's, I think there's a really clear logical reason for it, but it'd be good to have you share that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not only one reason. I mean, one is this, like I said, we have such deep and excellent relationships with lawyers and arbitrators in that industry that we had a great partner for making sure we built something useful. That was really important. We also have lots of awards. You know, we've done so many construction disputes and many documents only construction disputes that we had an awful lot to build our handbooks from, the expertise that the agents get to refer to. And finally, it's an area where speed and efficiency just really matters. You know, if you're in a large construction project, there are always disputes along the way. It's just that's just still the case. Maybe we'll fix that someday, but right now there are, and the project has to continue to move forward. So there's a real there are both parties want to get disputes figured out, and as I'm sure you know, that's not always the case. Sometimes one party is not interested in speed. So a lot of reasons.
Yeah. And then it's also kind of an area, too, where you have like some, as you say, there's always in any kind of, especially a large project, there's always like, that's why you have DRBs. That's why you have standing committees, because there are always disputes along the way. But you also have sort of a defined set of claims that can come out, right? I mean, that's the nature of construction.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the output is a draft award. And as I understand the AI arbitrator process to work, there's then it's at that point that there's a human interface that comes in as a check on the draft award. Is that how that operates?
Yeah, we have a panel of arbitrators who serve in a round robin or will serve in a round robin capacity for this docket, and they've been trained on what it looks like. You know, there's a human in the loop throughout. For the first half of the process, the sort of extracting the claims and the elements and organizing them, the human is the parties. Of course, if the parties want to pull in a human arbitrator, they can at any point. Of course, that's always up to them. But like it or not, once they're satisfied with the AI arbitrator's understanding of their case, then a human arbitrator who is assigned reviews both the reasoning work that the agents are doing and the draft award. And the human arbitrator ultimately issues the actual award. She makes whatever changes need to be made and issues it under her name.
Okay, so with the human reviewing everything, and forgive me that I don't mean this to sound in any way critical or anything, but like where how does the efficiency work if a human's still doing a check on it?
Yeah. So, I mean, even with the human in the loop at the reasoning and award stage, the time and cost savings is already significant. We obviously throughout the build process, you know, we're constantly evaluating what those numbers look like, and we see significant time savings, and obviously the cost savings are also significant. It's a flat fee for the AI arbitrator. It's $2,500 all included. So it's faster. The specific rules and timelines are significantly faster. And while it's important to us that there is a human reviewing the reasoning and award, it's still significantly more efficient.
Okay. And the parties could, if they wanted to, sort of opt out of the process and say like, okay, we want a human to intervene at any point in time.
Yeah. Anytime the parties need to pull a human in to, if they're, you know, unsatisfied with the agents who are working across the front end of the case and their work, they can pull a human in. They can pull a human in anytime they want.
Okay. And how many cases has this been used in so far?
The first case is in there right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had white smoke like coming out the chimney when we saw the first case entered.
I like that analogy. And
nobody has it in their contract yet, right? Like nobody has like put this in their contract. So right now you can only use the process if both sides agree. We're not, obviously you can't pull anybody in and make them use it. So.
Okay. So now are you anticipating that would be the case that people would put like right in the pre-dispute?
Yeah.
Arbitration clause, it'll be decided by the AI arbitrator.
I think for certain disputes, obviously, you know, there'll be some disputes for which parties at the front end won't feel comfortable doing that. But for certain disputes, for sure, I think more and more, there will be a class of disputes that parties think these are fine for that process. You know, then we can save our lawyer time and brains for the more complicated ones.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And if you look at the history of the way that expedited rules developed under a lot of institutions around the world, a lot of people, like I remember when those were made opt-out rules the first time, lot of people were really skeptical that everyone wouldn't opt out. I mean, I certainly wrote a lot of clauses opting out of expedited rules.
Sure.
And then as people got experience with them,
they got comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, they became standard. Same thing with emergency arbitration. So yeah, I could absolutely see that. Now, obviously, as this develops and as this evolves, it could be used in both larger cases and other areas. Are there other areas outside of construction that you'd like to see the AI arbitrator expand out to?
Yeah, we're already working on the next use cases and the next case types. I say those separately because I think that because they're separate. So there are going to be other case types that it makes sense for. There are going to be other documents only disputes that are sort of repetitive for which parties on both sides have an interest in the added efficiencies. So you might think supplier disputes, payer provider disputes, you know, there's lots of classes of disputes for which I think this process will make sense. In addition to that, we've heard from parties who are very interested in putting their case into it, but just in the privacy of their own offices. They want an award simulator. And that will help inform them on their strategy. And so my team is also building that right now. And that's not going to take that. That will be ready pretty soon.
Interesting. So using it is almost like a case, like a mock evaluator of your case.
Yeah, it's kind of a simulation because it's a little bit more than the traditional case evaluation tools because it can do so much, right? It's just a little bit more robust than in a traditional case evaluation tool. So it's more of a simulation.
Interesting. Okay. And then would that be a service that the AAAI CDR would like charge for access to?
Yep, exactly.
Yep. Interesting. Okay. Well, I would happily pay for that in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would. So we want to make sure it's available to folks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, just before I forget, would consumer be an area that you could see this expanding out into as well?
Consumer's tricky. I could definitely imagine at some future point where it's an effective service and tool for that caseload. It'll just be a question of whether the parties want it. You know, the thing is, we're not really, you know, there's so much to build that parties want and need today that we're not really focused on building services that maybe the world isn't ready for. Like, there's just too much to do before then.
Got it.
And I don't know, consumer cases, there is like, I mean, I follow sort of a related set of cases in courts. Like, you may or may not know this, but the Modal case in state courts right now is a consumer debt case of all things. It's like a credit card dispute. And they're really troubling dockets for state courts because a lot of people default. State courts do not have the resources to even see if the case has been properly filed, meaning that the filer can show that it really owns the debt. And so an awful lot of defaults are being entered that probably there could have been some, you know, dispute about. And there are some really interesting early feedback from people on those dockets that they might be interested in some kind of automated or AI dispute resolution process. So we'll see. I don't think it's in our near-term path because there's too much else to do. But I think the world's going to change pretty quickly. So we should talk again like next year or the following.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna put that marker down right now. I'm absolutely going to have you back next year to talk about how this is going because it is fascinating. And I certainly think of things like mortgage foreclosure disputes, things like that. That would seem to be like, That if I were looking ahead, would be one where I'd be like, oh, that would make a lot of sense. Now, as a former judge, what kind of issues would you see parties encountering at the enforcement stage if there was like an AI award?
It's a great question. I don't think I know yet. I mean, I do know that parties are very creative about raising issues around enforcement. So I assume we should expect to see anything. But one of the reasons why we have a human arbitrator, you know, confirming the reasoning and issuing the award is because we think that's critical for enforcement, at least in the near term. You know, again, the world might change pretty fast, but for now, we think that's important for enforcement.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Look, if there's some way to challenge the award down the road and somebody's unhappy, they will find any number of creative ways to come up with a reason. So having a human in the loop is a good idea at this point. Well, let's shift gears a bit and just talk about looking ahead. You know, it's early in the year. So what would you like to see the AAA ICDR accomplish in 2026? Or what would you like to accomplish in 2026 if there's a difference?
Yeah, no, there's no difference because my work is only on behalf of like what's in the interest of the people we serve at the AAA. And so 2026, we are focused a lot on this centennial. We want to take this opportunity to remind the world what an important service alternative dispute resolution is, arbitration, mediation, and any other forms of ADR, including ODR. And so we're going to have a lot of celebrations around that. We're building quickly the functionality of our AI point solutions, but also our AI arbitrator, like I said, to new use cases and new case types, both. And we're trying to always see where the world is headed. I mean, I'll tell you, I spend a lot of time thinking about how many contracts are already being negotiated agent to agent. You know, Walmart, I think, I forget what the number was, a significant number of its lower dollar, but still a number of contracts. They had agents negotiating with other agents and executing contracts. That's clearly going to be a growing way B2B commerce functions. And so I'm thinking about the dispute resolution layer in agentic commerce as one thing I'm spending a little time on. So I'm following the capital in the market as well. I mean, we've seen a number of regional ADR providers that have been purchased by private equity. You know, the AAA is a mission-driven nonprofit, and I feel very lucky that that's the space I live in right now. But I, of course, need to follow where the market is moving so that we can be sure that we're useful and relevant and impactful, you know, next year and 10 years from now and 100 years from now.
Well, let's talk about that because that's, you know, this is sort of a natural time to reflect and look to the future. Where would you like to see the AAA ICDR in 5 years?
So I think one of the big upsides of this new technology is it really will allow us to scale opportunities for parties to resolve disputes in a way that suits them and the dispute best, that we really should be able to fit the forum to the fuss. And so, you know, if we're thoughtful about it And I should say, you know, our AI governance, we spend as much time on our AI governance as our AI, you know, technical builds, because trust is as important as anything your engineers are doing right now. So making sure that your process is transparent, that parties can see how it works, that you have audit trails, that you show the work of those audit trails is as important to us as anything else. Because if I'm right, that the technology allows us to scale solutions, then the AAA, if it does half a, you know, if it does 500,000 cases this year, which it will do at least, could 10x that, right? They'll look different. They won't all be the same. But if you're name the Fortune, you know, 50 company, and you have a dispute portfolio, you should be able to pick your dispute type to match the disputes you have. So you might have a series of supplier disputes that you think some kind of AI-enabled dispute resolution process makes the most sense for. You're going to have other disputes for which you're always going to want a live human or three of them hearing from you about. And I want the AAA to be able to have a portfolio that meets the needs of all of our users, all of our parties, and makes them feel the ownership over and the agency with respect to resolving their own disputes. That was sort of the founding mission of the AAA, you know, 100 years ago. And it's a mission that I still believe in. If we give everybody the ability to have some agency and ownership over resolving their own disputes, we will grow economic prosperity and we will grow peace in our communities. So that's all. Just a small little...
just minor ambitions, huh?
Yeah, that's all.
Well, that's good. Well, I can almost assure the audience that that's going to be the case with the level of of dedication that's being put behind it, because it's really impressive to see the energy that you brought into the organization and the energy that really is filtered out to everybody that's working with you.
That's kind. Thank
you. No, I mean, it's true. The teams are all really engaged and really active and, you know, out there and speaking at conferences and, you know, not just doing the sort of traditional work. They're showing a lot of thought leadership too. So I'm sure that your vision will be realized.
Thank you.
Well, I think I'm absolutely going to take you up on the offer to come back and discuss this further in the future, because there is a lot to talk about. But in the interest of time, I think we'll wrap it up and say that that concludes our discussion of the AAA ICDR with Bridget McCormick. I want to thank you, Bridget, for sharing your insights with us. And I want to thank you, the audience, for listening. You should feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to either me or Bridget. And we look forward to having you tune in for future episodes in the Arbitration Acumen series. So thank you again, Bridget. It's been a real pleasure.
Same here. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Arbitration Acumen. We hope you found it insightful and informative, and we encourage you to share it with your colleagues if you did. You can reach out to any of our speakers by contacting them directly or by emailing arbitrationacumen@bracewell.com. We welcome any questions or suggestions you might have for future episodes. And please subscribe to our podcast channel to stay up to date with our latest content.